of the commission, second monthly meeting, Wednesday, September 25th.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Is there any additions to the agenda as written?
Not from staff.
I have one addition.
Well.
Under old business concerning the Berry lawsuit and the release of funds that we've been holding, to authorize Larry to sign a settlement agreement.
All right, that'll be MB under old business?
Old business, correct.
Any further additions? The consent agenda. Agenda. Oh, I'm moved to approve the agenda as added to for the old business item.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
I move we approve the consent agenda.
My second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Public comments not related to the agenda. Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Ron Hayes, and I'm part of the Citizens Strategic Planning Committee that last met in June, and we presented a letter, and I was just curious when we were going to get a response back to it, and I got an email, I think, this morning or yesterday from you guys saying that there's a meeting on October 9th to discuss it, so it sounds to me that really, there's nothing to report right now. There's no input that we could get from you folks about what the future looks like. And I'm willing to wait and everything, and I'm trying to be patient. I'm new to the committee, but there's some other people on the committee representing, you know, the tenants and the marine trades, and some of them are getting a little frustrated, and I just want you guys to know that we need to get a response sooner than later. So anyhow, that's my comment, take it or leave it.
If I just add, Eric Taves, who's been on all the meetings, he is drafting it on behalf of the commission, and it's really the commissioner's document. And that's the reason for the next public workshop, and certainly all of PSAC is invited to be there, to where Eric's going to present his, and he's in England for 2 weeks right now, that's part of the delay too, but he'll be presenting his draft to the commission for their thoughts and edits and changes, and then formalize it and send it out to each of the members of the PSAC.
So if we come to that meeting,
you'll hear the draft.
Okay.
Yeah, you know, which will probably, I'm sure the commissioners will add something or take something out.
And that's at the workshop.
Yeah.
Rather than
at 9:30 in the morning.
Excuse me, was it your understanding that you were going to be
yes
kept in the loop?
And not directly from you, but from Eric sent an email on the 14th. And in the email, the second paragraph said, the commission and staff agreed that the written responses to the issues raised were necessary and appropriate. We hope to prepare and circulate this within the next few weeks. So I interpreted that, and some of my other people that we were on the committee, that we would be hearing within a month or so. And that was June, and this is September, and so.
And not to make excuses, but, you know, the move of all the staff, you know, from Point Hudson down to here.
Right.
In fact, today we're going to be down on computers again because the final move of the servers is going to happen this afternoon. So there's been a few challenges, but
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we'll have that, and
okay,
we're certainly invited. It'll be right here in this room.
Okay.
At the workshop.
So. It might be well to send the PSAC members.
I did yesterday.
An update.
Yeah, because just so that you know, that's my understanding too, is that it was in a few weeks, and of course I hate the terms like few and moments and stuff that really don't mean anything. They just, and few weeks to me meant the same thing. That's what I expected too, but then stuff got in the way and I didn't see that it hadn't gotten yet, so.
Are you saying you want us to send the draft out
without your comments, or?
Just some kind of notice to the members of the committee that we're continuing to work on it.
They did that yesterday.
Okay, that we didn't ignore him, but we're tardy.
Yeah, and it would be nice.
Right, and the time is 9:30, you said, right?
9:30.
It is, yeah. And it would be nice to get a draft of that out to the commissioners, too.
Well, you'll get it before for your review, so you'll be prepared to talk about it. But, yeah, we're a little, it's your document, not staff's document. So we're a little reluctant just to be sending out words on your behalf without you having your discussion with them.
Yeah, well, I haven't been in communication with Eric about it at all. Which I, that might be, I might be remiss in that, or.
No. But Eric was the only one that sat in on the meetings, you know, so he's the only one that really has the feel for, you know, words are one thing, but if you were there when those words were spoken, you have a better feel for what the intent was and that sort of thing.
So your concern is noted duly.
Thank you.
If there's no more public comments, then we'll go on to old business. And old business, item A is the budget.
Just to continue our discussions, we had our meeting down at Goldstein a couple of weeks ago, where we talked extensively in the workshop about the budget. And Amy has prepared, and does everybody have a copy? Do you send that electronically?
I sent it electronically.
Yeah, I have it in here. Paper would be nice.
This one has no rate increases for mortgage or property tax.
This budget that you sent out in the email was revenues?
Revenues, and then expenses are on the last page. The third and fourth pages are. Page three is operating expenses. Page four is non-operating revenues, non-operating expenses.
That you would ask to see it without any rate increases, without any property tax increase, et cetera, just to kind of get a baseline, so.
So this is the raw, no increase budget, right?
This is the raw, no increase in mortgage revenue, leaving that budget at the same as it was this year, and no increase in property tax revenue. Here are a few spare copies for you guys to share if you want. Sorry, I only have three. So with this, and like I told Steve, I keep changing these numbers every day. I mean, this is a work in process, especially with the move. Our systems are extremely slow, and I can't get on the accounting program. But if we went for no mortgage rate increase and no property tax increase, bottom line as it stands right now, we would have a net loss for 2014 of $83,000, almost $84,000.
It was $3,000.
Eighty.
Loss.
$83,000, almost $84,000 loss.
The last page, very lower right number.
So.
Now, one question I had, Amy, was on the next to the last page where we show depreciation. You just lumped all depreciation into one number, airport and everything?
Yes, for this document it is. In the accounting program, once I get that up and running.
It'll be spread out.
It'll be spread out between, but here it's just one lump.
Yeah, because remember the age-old issue with the airport and depreciation. We have to, from an accounting standpoint, an audit standpoint, we have to show depreciation. The GAAP principles, generally accepted principles of accounting. But just like this runway project that we're doing, the FAA is paying 90% of it. So they don't carry it on their books. We end up having to carry it on our books, even though.
We didn't spend the money out of our bank account.
So it gives a little bit of a false, you know, bottom line in this thing. But still, we have to show it somewhere, so.
And like I said, I do, you know, keep looking at these numbers every day, you know, seeing where things will increase as we get additional, you know, information on payroll taxes, benefits, that type of thing. You know, so it's just a fine-tuning as we go through the process. But certainly if there's items in here that you guys want different, if you think we should budget more, budget less, you know, that's what I need to know as well. But this is the working draft as it stands right now.
You'll notice the two columns, 2013 budget and 2014 budget, for in most cases, maybe just carried over the same amount. You know, whenever you're doing a future budget, 2014, you're going to make some assumptions, some educated guesses. You know, is the RV revenue going to go up or not? You know, went up this year, so can we expect the same? Or is it going to plateau? You know, those are all, I think, that be taken into consideration.
And the amount of increase or decrease is in the far right column to date.
Yes.
Right.
That's from June to June.
June to June, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of confused me yesterday. I asked a couple of questions about that yesterday. And then now that I understand it's from June to June, that makes a little more sense.
Now we just finished another quarter, so that data will be coming in. So if you get your computer back up. And, so as we get further into the year, the numbers get more and more defined.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but that's an issue every year. When you start the budget process early summer, you don't have a lot of your background data yet.
One thing I think would be useful for me anyway would be, as we're getting these numbers more in the sights, if we could make another budget or just another line on another column on the end that would reflect just a CPI raise increase for across the board, because it's really kind of unfair to the people that have the increases come to them to wait and wait and wait and not have any increase. And they think, oh, good, I'm getting really a good deal. I'm not getting an increase this year. And all of a sudden, the cumulative 6% hits. You go, and they have the gasp. So I think that it's really worthwhile to keep up with what actual cost increases actually are. And so perhaps for the next one, trying to figure out how much of a thing we should do, just do a CPI column. Just so this is how much it would raise if we did
that. I think that's a great point, Steve, because yeah, you see a lot of the governments, and we've fallen victim to this too. Probably the best example right now is down in Quilsing, the fire district. They have not done an increase since, what was it, 1985 or something like that?
For taxes.
Now they can't maybe do the basic maintenance even on their fire trucks. And now they're facing a huge, you know, hundreds of percent increase just to maintain what they have. And of course, the community will, please, you know.
But isn't the CPI rate increase in the properties included in this budget
and
already?
And we right. We have an automatic.
Right. So we wouldn't add anything there, but on things like yard rates and mortgage and all that.
And even the property tax, you know, even though it's only about $8,800, still it addresses some of the other.
Right, and with the property taxes, I guess what, you know, the numbers you need to keep in mind is if we take no increase, then we're sitting at roughly the $885 that we have budgeted. If we take the 1% increase, it's $8,800. And then if we take the levy maximum, which works out to 2.4336%, that's $21,532, which I gave you last meeting. So,
right.
So those are the numbers to keep in mind there. And then the mortgage rate increases that I provided at the last meeting have not changed either, based on the half a cent, 1 cent, or cent and a half increases.
Right. I think those.
Yeah, this is the first property tax one. I was thinking about the different scenarios for the CPI for fees that we charge, like mortgage and haul outs and yard work fees.
If we gave that the half cent and a half.
Right. Sure.
So we can look at the other rates and add a CPI increase. And, you know, I don't know that I would put it in the budget document and start changing all of that, but I can certainly do another spreadsheet that has all of our rates and what if we added a CPI increase to it.
But leaving, looking at this document, this is kind of an informative document. This is flat without this is including the CPI rate increases in the properties, but it does not include a yard fee increase, and it does not include a mortgage rate increase. And we're only $83,000, $84,000 in the hole.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, what we could probably use would be some suggestions as to what we could economize on to reduce that $83,000 figure. Because even if the budget comes up net, it is successful, in my opinion. You know, rather than just immediately going to the increase for the solution to this deficit, what programs might we curtail or trim to bring this thing into balance?
Well, there's other fees and rates that, you know, we the whole suite that we need to look at. Everything
right.
From what we charge for RVs, you know, environmental fees, you know, tie-up fees down at Union Wharf now that we have that new revenue source.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got the cruise ship coming in many, many times. You know, yeah, we charge them $250 a night. Should that be $300 a night? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I noticed that we're dealing with their garbage.
Yeah.
We bill them for that.
We bill them. Okay. Yeah. You know, that $83,000 deficit on the last page, that's why I brought up the airport depreciation.
Right.
You know, if you were to discount that airport depreciation, then we're in the black. You know, you erase those parentheses around that 83,000. So, you know, it's just one of those things. And I know a lot of citizens don't understand, you know, well, why are you counting that for? Well, we have to for accounting purposes. But, you know, at the end of the day, how much money is on the table? You know, we're actually a pretty solid, financially sound port.
Right. But
that's not to say
but we
be.
Provide, I mean, we provide a service.
We do.
And people of the county own this facility.
Yeah.
And is there some reason why we should not charge the current rate or accommodate the increases in CPI for the people of this county?
Exactly. Yeah, that's why you guys get paid the big bucks. Yeah, and Tim will tell you too, you know, we're always under the pressure of, you know, the law that says we should be charging market rate.
That's right.
And not gifting the credit of the state. And I know a lot of people are tired of me bringing that up, but
it's true.
That's what the standard is that we're held against, that we're inspected against
right.
by the
like,
state auditor.
Like mortgage tenants represent about 1.5% of the people in the county. And so if we're to benefit the 1.5% at the expense of the rest, that doesn't seem to be...
That's a moral and ethical issue.
That doesn't seem to be a reasonable solution to anything.
Now, the other aspect for the workshop, I'll have my budget white paper done.
Mm-hmm.
As of yesterday, I went out to Gardner Ramp yesterday afternoon, took some photos. It's actually in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
And to your point, there's nobody down there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's actually not bad shape. But I visited all the sites now. So in the white paper, I'll be making some recommendations and a little bit of prioritization. We already talked last time that I'm concerned about the docks in Quilsing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also, you know, concerned about, you know, the stormwater issues. And we're probably looking at about $100,000 that we need to bolster that pot of money to do some of the things that we said we'd do in our level 3 engineering report. You know, but then after that, you know, do we start the permitting on the jetty walkway down at Point Hudson? That's a couple of year process. You know, one thing that we didn't mention down in Quilsing that we should have is the boat ramp expansion here. We've got that engineering done. We got the permitting pretty much finalized. the committee that I sit on down at, in Olympia with the Recreation Conservation Office for grant money for boat ramps. 2014 money is available. We won't know till about the first of the year how much, but it'll probably be in the $4-4.5 million range. And of which, that's actually about $9 million. But the way the state is, they take half of whatever's available. Say it's $9 million, they'll take $4.5 million and give it to Fish and Wildlife and state parks, who maintain about half the ramps in the state. And don't forget, most of these are in eastern Washington. Then the other $4.5 million would go for ports and counties, cities that also do ramps. And if we're ready to go, we got a pretty good chance of getting a slice of money there. Mm-hmm. But we'd have to match it with at least 25% of our funds. So we're probably talking, you know, a good $100,000-$150,000 that we would have to pony up. You know, so if you want that in the budget, that's not a thing.
Doesn't our 25% match include the fees we've spent for permitting and stuff like that?
We can try. They may or may not, because some of the stuff like paving the parking lot, we did quite a while ago. Now, the washdown pad, we might be able to. That's a pretty recent project. But also, it's one of these situations where you can buy points. Yeah, they'll give you more points with the bigger share. You know, if, say our 25% was 100,000, but we put in 200,000, then you get bumped up a little bit on the priority. There's always more projects than there is money available, like any grant to the funding source. But so anyway, I'll cover all that in my white paper, but it'll all be stuff that we need to. And on that, yeah, you don't have to make a final decision. The applications aren't due until May of next year. Then the briefings and presentations and scoring will be done usually in July. Then the money is available. But if you've got a project that's ready to go, you've got the permits, the engineering is done, design is all wrapped up, then you stand a pretty good chance of getting some money.
And that's where we are, right?
That's where we are. Okay. That's where we are.
And then just a reminder is we're still in the middle of addressing this latest stormwater issue.
Right.
So that'll be translated directly into yard fees, because we break that environmental out now on a separate line. So we've got those figures, and you know, we're kind of in the middle of that. So that's an increase in yard fees right there. That you know, whether it has nothing to do with CPI, it's the environmental.
Yeah. In fact, that just reminded me, Amy, did you include what the county's going to do with the dump fees?
Right.
Because they're going up like 120% or something.
28%?
No, more than that. It's another example where government, you know, just doesn't have the courage to stay up with inflation. They haven't changed their dump rates out at the landfill for years, and now they're so far behind, they can't pay their staff or anything else.
Right. Well, I've increased the utility line 40,000. I'm not sure if that'll be enough. I have not been able to get in enough to truly analyze all of those individual rates. But
because Al, in his presentation to us when he was here last, said 28%.
We pay a lot in garbage right now.
Right.
Well, I think that's something that we could perhaps do economizing too, is to do some, you know, closing of the dumpsters and stuff like that and locking them up at night, because that is a big expense.
Well, you caution know, a little bit. We've gone around this tree 1,000 times over the years, and the last time we tried to restrict access to dumpsters, we were finding hot water heaters and sofas and dining room tables and everything else stacked next to the dumpster in the morning. And it's not our tenants; it's the citizens.
Well, and like we discussed previously, that's just going to be multiplied coming up here. For after the first of the year, then there's going to be, will be a garbage dump for the county once again. So, you know, what I was saying about the environmental piece is, you know, just arbitrarily increasing yard fees, that needs to be taken into consideration. They're gonna increase themselves beyond our control.
So we'll continue with this, and as we firm up the data, we'll feed it to you.
So the next step in this process would be to get your white paper?
White paper, and that'll help present that at the workshop.
Okay, do you plan on addressing the environmental at all in that, in that document?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And I'll touch on a lot of the other fees, and I don't know, you know, again, it's your decision. I'll make some recommendations that some people will like, a lot of people won't like, but, you know, my sole goal is to keep the port healthy so all our tenants can be healthy and do the right thing by the taxpayers.
Very well. Any further discussion, Dave?
Nope.
Then we'll move on to the next item under old business. Item B is check signing authority for the CACOs.
That's correct. As you may recall, the Port Hudson Marina Reconstruction Project, the port had withheld certain money from CACOs, the contractor, for various reasons, partially because the Department of Revenue issued a lien against the port for non-payment of sales tax, for the contractor didn't pay the sales taxes. There was
make that clear.
Yes.
It wasn't us, it was the contractor, but the
Department of Revenue lien us. The Department of Labor and Industries sued the contractor for failure to pay prevailing wages, and there was a performance issue. There was about $135,000 that the port had held. The contractor has sued the port, and we are attempting to come to an agreement to release those funds. It's been complicated. About a month ago, I asked you folks for the authority to release those funds, and now we've come to a settlement agreement with the Department of Revenue, who's agreed to release the lien, with the bonding company, and with CACOs and David Berry to release us for those claims for that month. So it's been a lot of lawyers going back and forth. We finally come to a settlement agreement that makes sense for everybody, particularly the court, to make sure that they're released from all those claims, so we're not releasing money and litigating it over at the same time. So it's a good agreement. We just came to agreement this morning, so I'm just asking for authority to have Larry sign off on the agreement so we can release those funds and move on to the other parts of the lawsuit.
And keep in mind, this was never our money.
That's correct.
Right.
You know, mm-hmm. We were just told by the state to hold it until they could get...
Well, right, we were, yeah, exactly. The Department of Revenue and Department of Labor and Industries both told us to hold that money. Right. And so now they've agreed to release their liens with the funds we released the money.
I move that we grant Larry the authority to sign this checks.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Yeah, just quick. It's the settlement agreement that you said. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You bet. Then that moves us on to new business, and the item A is approval of warrants.
We have warrant number 51762 through 51809 for the payment of $274,999.99. Sounds like it's on sale, doesn't it? For accounts payable. And one for warrant number 51744 through 51761. In the amount of $62,398.11 for payroll and benefits. And there should be another one in here. And an electronic debit in the amount of $9,243.73 for excise tax. Is that it?
Should be it.
Okay. I move that we approve the warrants position as read.
One second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Staff comments.
Amy?
I would like to excuse myself because the network people are here, so I'm going to go work on the network. And other than that, I don't have any comments. And the October 9th meeting packets won't be out until Monday, October 7th. So I won't be here next week. So, form on Monday.
Anything else, Tim?
No.
Commissioner Tucker and I will be leaving after the session to go down to the WPK Environmental Conference, and we'll be back Friday. The building inspections are supposed to start today. Talking to Mark Grant, Shipwrights Co-op has done just a wonderful job on the stairs, but we couldn't get the city to come inspect that. We had the railings up. And so that'll be going on. And Commissioner Erickson and I were at the EDC last night for the special presentation on how to get into the federal contracting world, and we left after 15 minutes until nobody showed up. So, and I understand the Marine Trade Association was informed of it. We had Skookum there too. They do a lot of federal contracting. But we'll try it again, probably in the future.
Were we sponsoring that?
Well, the EDC was.
We asked them to do it.
But if you remember, in our contract with the EDC for this year, that was one of the check-the-box things that we said, yeah, we really need to make this information available to the Marine Trades so we can start getting some government contracts locally. That's it.
Maybe it should have been advertised a little more, because the first thing I even heard about it was in an email yesterday. So I put it on our calendar yesterday.
No, he personally contracted the Marine Trade Association several times. So. But that may be something we need to look at.
Yeah, it was disappointing that no one showed up, because that gal from Skookum had a lot of real pertinent information concerning gaining government contracts. And one of the points she did make is a government contract isn't necessarily millions of dollars. They're all sizes. And, if anybody from Marine Trades is interested, they could talk to me or Larry and get some tips that take 5 minutes on where to even find that information, because it's readily available. Any further public comments? Yes.
It's or a question in the comment. Is there a new expanded timeline for the airport renovations? I know it's on again, off again due to weather. Yeah. And
if you can give me what the weather's going to be exactly on what days.
I have my crystal ball all warmed up.
Right. Yeah, we're still looking at the contractors coming up today from Portland, who's just spent the night in the hotel. The NOTAM is out for closing 7 a.m. tomorrow till 7 p.m. Now, they might open a little bit earlier. They're just going to do the one day, finish the crack, the routing out the cracks in the ceiling. The next step, they got to bring 6,000 gallons of hot tar, essentially, up here. It's not tar, it's a special slurry coat that goes over the asphalt. And that really, they need to know that it's going to be dry, for at least a 24 to 36 hour period. So
the cracks will just keeps water from freezing in the cracks.
Right. And then obviously they got to restripe after that, but they're looking at the first week in October. So stand by. I wish I could, I'm starting to think we should have just closed it for the 4th of July and just done it in 1 week of hot weather and been over with it. But everybody kind of wanted to wait till after Labor Day, so you're running the risk with weather after this time of year.
Does that impact, do all the delays and changes impact
the price?
Our price?
No, so it's a fixed price.
Price.
Yeah. Then that moves us to commissioner comments. Steve?
I can't think of any right now.
Dave?
No.
I'm pleased that flat budget came out the way it did, and I'm looking forward to looking into ways to make it even a little bit more positive. So that concludes our commission meeting for today. I'm going to adjourn this meeting, and then we're going to go into executive session over a legal issue.
For approximately 30 minutes?
Can you get through that?
Well, Carol, we're going to talk Carol then. Yeah, maybe 40.
Yeah. 40 minutes?
Let's do 40 minutes to be safe.
Very well.
No action, right?
No action will be taken.
Then this commission meeting is adjourned into executive session.